I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ha ha! Better late than never on this show, because I didn't do the show on Saturday, and I didn't do the show on Sunday, which makes this Monday for those of you that are keeping up. Yes. So, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Just for good measure, because you never can be too careful. Yes. Okay, we've got a delayed show with brand spanking new news. New news. It was gleaned from the interwebs this afternoon, so it's all fresh. And you know, it smells nice and fresh, like a spring day. You know, news that just sits around for a long time, it just gets kind of, anyway, this is the oldest item that we're going to talk about, and it's not even that old. It goes back to May the 27th. I mean, that's not too bad. Anyway, Linux Mint 17 release candidate has been released into the wild. It's called Kiana for no apparent reason. But hey, anyway, it has these new features: an update manager update. You update the update manager and you have an updated update manager. How cool is that? It has a drivers manager, a manager for your drivers. Cool. It has a new login screen. It has language settings that are different, I suppose. It has software sources that have been updated. Welcome screen, so you feel welcome on your new Kiana version. Anyway, Cinnamon 2.2, system improvements, artwork improvements, main components, and an LTS strategy, which, by the way, LTS means long-term service, which means this particular version, 17, will be out longer and be supported longer than your typical version, like 16's not an LTS, so it's not going to be hanging around a long time, know what I mean? Matter of fact, it's already been replaced with 17, so there you go. But anyway, you know, it's not to say 17 won't be replaced quickly, too. It's just it will have long-term support for those of you that are kind of Luddite-ish, which is a new word, by the way, and you sit around and don't upgrade. I upgrade immediately all the time. It's what I do. So, anyway. So, in the spirit of operating system upgrades, we also have an upgrade that was announced today. That would be June the 2nd as I record this. Today, Apple announced at their conference, developers, they announced OS X Yosemite, which of course reminds me of Yosemite Sam, but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about a big mountain. Their logo thing has mountains that look really big and cool. So it's OS X Yosemite. And since I'm now officially in the Apple world, since I have a MacBook Pro, actually I currently have a Mac, but I'm going to be selling it. So that doesn't count. But I also use a Mac Mini at church when we record videos. So there's several Macs out there that I, you know, touch occasionally. But anyway, so this is the first major big operating system since I've had my MacBook Pro, and I'm all giddy about it. There you go. It's pretty and fluffy, like most Mac things. It's been redesigned with a fresh modern look, powerful new apps, and an amazing new continuity features that make working across your Mac and iOS devices more fluid than ever. You can tell this was written by an Apple, you know, press release thing. This, so it's all, you know, shiny. At any rate, the new Today view in the Notification Center gives you today, as in now, today, you know, gives you a quick look at everything you need to know all in one place. iCloud Drive is now located within the Finder and can store files of any type, and Safari has a new streamlined design that puts the most important controls at your fingertips. Safari, of course, is Apple's, I started to say Apple's version of Internet Explorer. That would be bad. I shouldn't say that. No, it's their web browser. But, you know, I kind of think of Safari the same way I do Internet Explorer for Microsoft. It's a web browser, but it doesn't mean you should use it. I must admit, the few times I've used Safari, it's way better than Internet Explorer. But, you know, that ain't saying much. I still prefer Chrome. Dude. Or Firefox, but definitely Chrome. So, there you go. And I have Chrome on my MacBook as well. Yosemite is the future of OS X with its incredible new design and amazing new apps, all engineered to work beautifully with iOS, said Craig Federighini. Okay, that's an unpronounceable name. He loses points for that. So we're going to call him Craig Ferengi, because why not? At any rate, he's Apple's Senior Vice President of Software Engineering. We engineer our platform services and devices together so we're able to create a seamless experience for our users across all our products that is unparalleled in the industry. It's something only Apple can deliver. You don't think maybe they're laying it on a bit thick? I think so, but anyway, we'll see. But the big news, the news that I like personally, is that it's free. Once again, it's going to be a free upgrade to your operating system, which is new for Apple. They normally charge you out the wazoo for anything they do. But this is another new free operating system like Mavericks was. And everybody went, what? Well, now they can go, what? Again. Cool. Maybe they'll make operating system upgrades free forever. We can only hope. Particularly me, because I don't want to pay any money for a new operating system upgrade. But anyway, next item, Google may finally give us ubiquitous Wi-Fi. You know I've been talking about ubiquitous Wi-Fi since the cows came home. Which I don't know what has to do with Wi-Fi, unless they have Wi-Fi access points on their collars as they walk through the fields. But at any rate, I don't know. The point is, they are talking about giving us ubiquitous Wi-Fi. You know, they had a Project Loon. I kid you not, that's what they called it, Project Loon, which is where they were going to put Wi-Fi access points up in the clouds, in balloons. Which reminds me of a Ref Troop episode where the Indians pointed at a balloon and said, "It is balloon!" Yes. Well, the whole idea of Project Loon was that you had all these balloons floating around the globe providing Wi-Fi to the masses. Which is pretty loony if you ask me, but at any rate, that was their idea. So now they've upped it a notch. They've said, we're going to use 180 low-orbit satellites to provide internet access to the world. I like it. I know that my friend at work, Jim Bob, not his real name, who hates Google with a passion and says they are the devil, will probably think that this is a plot to take over the world through their Wi-Fi access. And perhaps it is. But I'm good with it. Because it gives us free Wi-Fi. And as an internet broadcaster that puts out an internet radio station, the idea that everywhere in the world would be able to hear the program, the station, through the ubiquitous Wi-Fi is awesome. So if they want to take over the world, small price to pay. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well. Anyway. So, they're making a deal with satellite company Space Systems to work on the project, and they are investing $1 billion. Now, the pundits say it's really going to cost $3 billion, but they're only going to go right now for $1 billion. So they'll probably just slide in the rest of the money, you know. So I don't know if it's going to be free. They may charge for it. But Google has a tendency to give things away and then just put a lot of ads in it. So you may be able to hook up anywhere, but then when you do, it'll come up and go, "Hi there," you know, and give you some ad, and then you can click on and make it go away. Or some open source dude will come up with a Google free Wi-Fi ad filter program and probably make it a Google Chrome add-in thing. How cool would that be? So anyway, cool. So next operating system upgrade. We're announcing a lot of operating system upgrades on this program. Next item, Google Lollipop has been announced. I kid you not. It's a lollipop. Doop, doop, doop. Anyway, Lollipop is another form of candy, which of course means it's an Android operating system upgrade. We've gone from KitKat to Lollipop. Yeah. I mean, all these sugary treats, you should watch your blood sugar. You know what I'm saying? Yeesh. Anyway, this is going to be 4.5 of Android, and it's going to integrate Chrome deeper into the bowels of the Android operating system. That sounds terrible. I don't like the way that came out. Scratch that, Fred. He really won't. He'll leave it in. That's okay. But so it goes. Anyway, the point is that they're going to integrate Chrome with it. You know how Apple was saying we're the only ones that can integrate everything? Well, guess what? Chrome is going to be more fully integrated into Android. And there you go. So according to Android Police, which is a real thing, they are people who are really excited about Android and call themselves Android Police for no apparent reason as well. Google, they say, Google intends to improve its services and wants its users to have a better experience by uniting the platform's search, Chrome, and Android in order to build an operating system that can operate on Android gadgets but which can execute tasks for third-party applications and Google itself. So interesting. It will be released in June, which, if memory serves, is actually this month. Given that today, as I record this, is June the 2nd. So they probably mean later this month. That would be my guess. But then I don't pay attention much. So there you go. Okay, last item on this special short show-ish show. It's not that short anymore because I keep talking. But it is that Intel is coming out with an open source robot named Jimmy. Because why not? I mean, if you're going to name your robot, why not name it something cool? You know, like Honda has Asimo, you know, which harkens of Isaac Asimov and the history of science fiction. So Intel comes up with Jimmy. Okay. Anyway, this is Jimmy. The picture I show you there. It's an odd-looking robot. It looks like a robot whose head is a toadstool. He'd be right at home in Mario, except he'd probably get his head bonked. But at any rate, and the other cool thing about it, the other weird and cool thing about it is that you can download the templates to this robot because it is open source and free, and you can print it on your 3D printer. You might say to yourself, you might say, I don't have a 3D printer. Well, you can always go to Monoprice, which now has a 3D printer under $1,200 because it's $1,199, and you can then extrude a robot. That also sounds pretty bad. I don't know if I want to think about that too much either. But at any rate, you can print your robot, put it together, and you'd have your own open source printed robot. The world's getting very odd. That's all I can say. Okay, anyway, you can also go to 21stcenturyrobot.com, as it says here on the screen, and they will be able to sell you a kit particularly for the non-3D printable parts, such as the motors, the processors, and all those other things. I think they're just talking about the skin, you know what I'm saying, the shell. I mean, whoopee, you know, you say you got a printable robot, you should be able to print the whole robot, you know what I'm saying? But obviously you can't print motors and processors and things yet. That will have to wait till we have true replicators, which we should have. Why isn't somebody out there doing replicators already? I know I'm being a curmudgeon, but that's my job. So, deal with it. So anyway, the robot is an open source design, which means the plans will be freely available for people to build their own at home. You will want a 3D printer for this. You'll be able to modify it as you see fit. The non-3D printable parts will be available from 21stCenturyRobot.com, as I said. And there will eventually be an app marketplace, something akin to Apple's App Store, but for robots. How cool is that? I like it. It's like a smartphone with legs, said Johnson. I don't know about that. But anyway, your robot will be completely different from mine. You'll customize it and program the artificial intelligence, not having a PhD in robotics, but by downloading apps. Okay. And on the show, that I watched the video of it, which is at the link that you can go to my blog and click on, you can see the video of Jimmy coming out and basically being annoying because he keeps trying to talk over the people who are trying to introduce him. He just starts talking, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll sit here and shut up and let Jimmy talk. So then he quits talking, and so they start to talk again, and sure enough, he starts talking again. It's like, somebody teach this robot some manners. But anyway. But he's cute enough. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't seem to be as smooth as Asimo, though. He's a little jerky, but, you know. He's new. Give him a break. Plus, he got printed. I mean, if you got printed, you'd probably be a little off-kilter yourself. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, which, by the way, is brought to you by no one in particular this week. But if you want somebody to talk to about the show, you can always just send me an email. You know what I'm saying? DrBill@DrBill.TV. By the way, this little doohickey here that I have on my strap means that I'm on call. So if it goes off in the middle of a show, like right now, which it's not going to, I hope. Anyway, then you'll know that it's because I'm on call and I have to answer the call and go talk to somebody about some computers. Which is what I'm doing now, is talking to people about computers. That seems to be what I do. So remember, until next time, the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.